Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about starting over, which is what I'm doing here with my channel, at least here on YouTube. And I want to talk about a little bit about my story, because if you're going to sit here and listen to me spout on about all my opinions on things and topics and different things, I think it's important that you know my background and where I'm coming from. And then maybe you can say, you know, I've got a similar experience as that, or man, I hope I never have that experience. So, you know, when I was in school, I didn't have a steady girlfriend. I was in a lot of sports, and I casually dated a lot of girls, but I didn't have anything serious until after I graduated. I joined the military, and I did 4 years, and I was a law enforcement officer. And when I was there, I ended up meeting a girl, and we dated for about 2 years, and we decided to get married. And after getting married, we were only together about 6 months, and she went home to visit family, and she never returned. And so I quit my job, raced back to the town that she was from, which is where I had been working and been in the military, only to find out that she had, when she was home visiting her family, she met an old boyfriend, and I guess he was a trust fund kid or something, because he had a lot of money. And he was driving her around in a Ferrari and doing their thing. And at the time, I said to myself, you know, she was a great girl. I probably could have kept her if I had more money, or if I had what he had. Maybe I could have kept her. Well, we had been married for 6 months, and then we got divorced, obviously, after that happened. And I was, at the time, I think 21 or so. And from there, I spent the next 6-7 years just kind of doing the bachelor thing, right? The, I guess you'd call them players, right? If you take a bachelor that likes to casually date, they're a player. If you take a girl that likes to casually date, she's empowered, right? So I spent the next 7 or 8 years casually dating, and I dated a lot. I was probably a little bit codependent. Like, I didn't really spend much time alone. I kind of went from, you know, dating this girl to dating that girl, and I just kind of blazed through. And, you know, my first wife was very, very pretty. She worked for she did hair salon, hair cutting in her part time, but most of the time she was a model for ads for I guess you'd call it a chain store. Like, there's JCPenney's and there's Sears, and so she used to do modeling for that. So she was a very pretty girl. And so after we went our separate ways, I said, you know, maybe I should, instead of focusing so much on looks, maybe I need to look a little bit more into character. And at the time, this is long before the internet, so you didn't have such things as red flags, or, you know, you had a couple common things you looked out for, but there weren't lists of things that you could read up about and say, okay, these are some things I need to pay attention to. Speaking of which, I'm going to have a video of red flags and dating coming up here for you guys. I may put it out right after this one. But I didn't have all those warning signs. So I said, you know, maybe my next choice, next girlfriend that I get, she needs to be a little more cerebral, a little bit more here in the head instead of just a pretty face. So when I was about 28 or 29, I ended up meeting a girl, and she was in university. And she was graduating with her PhD. Highly educated, funny, sensitive, wasn't exceptionally beautiful. I would say she was average, but I found her attractive once I got to know her. And we ended up dating again for about 2 years, and we got married because, you know, my parents have been married for 50 some odd years. My grandparents were 70, 75 years before my grandmother passed. Aunt and uncle are still married. I came from a family where you get married, you have kids, you know, you do the right thing, you work your job, and life is good, right? So there was still part of me that felt that marriage was the right direction for me. So at 30 years old, I got married. And we were together for 5 years married. And that one kind of went away, that one fell apart, because her father had frontal lobe dementia, and he passed away. And she never was really able to cope with that very well. And so she started taking medication. Ativan, Zoloft, things like that, which kind of leveled you out a little bit, but it also killed any romance and any attraction that was there. And she also worked incredibly long hours. She was teaching at a university, so she was working 10 and 12 hours between grading papers, coming up with syllabus, preparing all her courses for the day. So I found that I was single, even though I was married. I spent all my time alone. I had the guy friends, but when you come home and we talk about what it's like to be alone, and maybe when I go to bed tonight, maybe the dog hops in bed with me, maybe not, but that's all you sleep next to. And somebody said, isn't that very lonely? And I don't know who originally said it. It was a quote by somebody, but I said, but I just repeated it because it's always stuck with me. Loneliness isn't going to bed alone. Loneliness is going to bed with somebody that no longer loves you. And that really hit home for me. I said, man, I felt that. I know what that's like. And that really resonated with me. So I've always kind of remembered that. But that's where I was at that point in time. And at the time, being at 35 years old, you say, well, do I try to work it out or do I put myself back out on the market? And so, we got divorced, and everything in both divorces was very, there wasn't a lot of bickering, fighting. There was no craziness. There was no insanity. But both times were very hard on me because I thought being married and having that kind of family thing was what was right. After that, again, I was single for quite a bit. And then as I closed in on my 39th birthday, I met somebody and we dated for about 2 years. And kind of the same thing where I said, I'm not going to get married this time, but this is somebody I do care about. And we ended up living together. And come to find out that she ended up cheating on me. And this time, though, I was a little bit more mentally prepared. It wasn't nearly as soul-crushing as my divorces had gone. But after finding out the cheating and how well she hid it, how well she was able to lie, I said, maybe this dating thing isn't right. Either I'm not right for relationships, or I'm not finding the right person that's going to be in a relationship with me. Maybe it's just better if I just be alone. And that's when I kind of went back to being a bachelor. So, I that really sums up kind of where my life came around to land me into where I want to start my story today of starting over. And how, a lot of times Arnold Schwarzenegger has a pretty cool quote. Let me pull it up here. It says, just like in bodybuilding, failure is also a necessity. Let me start that again. Just like in bodybuilding, failure is also a necessary experience for growth in our own lives. For if we never tested to our limits, how will we know how strong we really are? How will we ever grow? So if I had gotten married and lived the next, 50 years, I probably would have been happy. If she was happy and I was happy and, we might have had that household. But when I look back to all the things that I've experienced because I'm not married and because I have my free time, I look back and I know I don't think marriage was right for me. And that's where we get to new beginnings. So as you've noticed now, my 30 some odd videos that were here are now gone. And I'll put up the little marker up here, kind of explaining. Or maybe it's over on this side. Anyway, I'll explain that. That video explains why I've done what I've done. But by starting over, a lot of times when we break up with somebody or we lose our job or something doesn't go our way and we didn't have another plan, that can be an exceptionally scary time for us. So when she and I had broken up, I did have a house at one point and I sold it. And I was renting, and I found that renting works well for me, at least until I get my bus built and everything, because I know I'm going to be mobile. But at the time I was renting and I was really burnt out on my job, and I had saved money for a very long time because I knew I wanted to travel. And so I just had a bad day at work and I quit work. I just walked in and I said, here's my 2 weeks, I'm done. And that was it. And my relationship with her ended. And the rent, my apartment lease came up, and that was over, and that's it. All of a sudden, I was going to not have a place to stay here for a month. I didn't have a job. And I said, you know, everything is in front of me. Like, the world is completely open. For the first time in my life, I have nothing tying me down. So I ended up selling all my possessions. I sold my two motorcycles. I sold my truck. I sold my furniture. I donated my clothes, except for a very small amount. And I bought a backpack, and I bought a small solar panel to charge my phones and a battery bank that I actually have right here. And I packed a suitcase, and I bought a ticket for Iceland. And that was the only, you know, people asked me, where are you going to go, or where are you going to stay, or what are you going to do? I didn't know. All I knew is I had a ticket for Iceland. I had an 80-liter backpack with a tent, sleeping bag, air mattress, my phone, and my clothes. That's it, you know, and some rain gear. And that was now the beginning of my life. And I can tell you now, as scary and as hard and as awful sometimes as starting over can be, there can be so much wonderful, awesome opportunity out of it as well. You know, when I got on that plane and I flew to Iceland, I ended up, and I won't go all the way through my travels, but for Iceland specifically, I took 30 days, and there it's easy to hitchhike. Everybody picks up hitchhikers. And they also have kind of a law that I forget the name of the law, but you can stay anywhere. You can pitch your tent and sleep anywhere on public or public land, as long as it's within or 100 meters away from a building. And on private land, you can just ask them. And there's a lot of farmlands and stuff, so you can just knock on someone's door. But the distance between houses is dozens, in some cases, 30, 40 kilometers apart. And with a gas station to the next town can be 300 kilometers apart. So I spent all this time walking around and just myself listening to podcasts or some music on my phone. And I was seeing all these beautiful vistas. And it was in summer. It was June 26th when I flew up there. And I stayed until July, almost August 1st. And it was the midnight sun. So the sun never set. Now, it was cloudy most of the time I was there. Last year was a horrible season for Iceland. But there were three or four days where I got to see the sun poking through the clouds at midnight. And the sun never really set. It just kind of came down to the horizon, and it'd slide for about 3 hours, and then it'd pop back up. So you'd see half the sun for a couple of hours, and then it'd come back up, and it was daytime. Very hard to sleep. You see, you had to have an eye mask. But spending all that time alone, just walking, I'd walk 20, 30 miles or, 40 kilometers some days without getting a ride. I'd just walk, and I'd think. And I'd think about everything that I had done in my life and all the dating that I had done and all the jobs that I've done and all the areas that I've traveled. I've lived in like 9 different states. But I love starting over because it, you know, no matter where you go, there you are. So you can't run away from your problems. But when you start over again, the expectations of both that you put on yourself and society puts on you are left behind. So instead of worrying about, you know, how much money I'm going to save, or, you know, that I have to vacuum my carpet, or I have to mow the lawn, or for the first time in my life, I had nothing I had to worry about except finding a place to put a tent and how much food to eat to make sure I had enough food to get to the next little gas station or store. And it was the best time of my life. That month felt like a year in comparison to going to work every day. So sometimes I think we need to push ourselves and we need to challenge ourselves through life. But when you always have something that you need to worry about, or something that you need to think about, or something that you're responsible for, or, you know, a job that's stressing you out, or a relationship that's not working out for you, a lot of times people say, yeah, but I don't want to start over, or what would I do? And when it's taken away from you, a lot of times there's a scramble and you can get scared. I'm telling you now that it can be one of the best things to ever happen to you is whether you purposely throw things away and start over, or you consciously say, okay, I need to just do a reset. It's like taking a chessboard or a, you know, a board game, just throwing the pieces off, scattering them all over the floor, and destroying the puzzle, and you're left with a completely clean slate. And out of that, you can make absolutely anything you want to. And when I did that, you know, I left a very, very good paying engineering job. And I was so excited to get that job, but it didn't turn out to be what I wanted, but I'd probably still be there if I didn't just pack it all up and leave, because it was a decent job. It was not fun, but it paid the bills very well. But because of just a few little circumstances that all lined up, by throwing everything I had to the wind and starting over completely, my life has not only gone in a better direction, but it's gone in a more freeing and more liberating and more gratifying direction. So in those times in your life where you find that things aren't going great, or you feel like you're in a rut, sometimes it's not a little change that you need. Sometimes you just need to throw everything to the wind and do a hard scramble and say, what do I really want to accomplish with my life? And where do I really want to go? And what do I really want to do? And, you know, for me, like right now, I'm not even working. I'm building this bus and I'm putting some videos together for you guys. And I'm enjoying a little bit of downtime after my travels. But once my bus is done, well, I know where I'm going to live, but I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do for work. And, you know, the time that I need to find something is going to get quicker and quicker, because I can't live off my savings forever. I'm not ready for retirement, certainly. But, you know, when you start over again, you can chase your passions. You can find what was broken and fix it again. Same thing with my channel. I had some videos out with some bad language where I was angry and I was frustrated. And it doesn't mean that those were bad videos, but it gives me the opportunity now to change the format a little bit. Yes, to maybe coincide with some of the policies that I need to do to stay online. But it's also a chance to really explore what I want to do with things. And I would say, do the same thing with your life. Really explore what you want to do and where you want to go. And sometimes just throwing it all away and starting from scratch without a backup plan, without all these meticulous schemes. Sorry, my dog's freaking out over something. All these meticulous schemes may end up in many ways to be the right thing for you. So I thought I'd toss that out there as my thought for the day here. I'll have another video backup behind this one. As always, you can follow me on my other channels. If you want to leave comments, please go to my BitChute channel, since I'm going to have them turned off on my stuff over here because of all the lovely trolls that like to come and visit. Guys, this is Joker. This is Better Bachelor. I appreciate y'all for joining me, and I'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you.